nothing but Star Wars. Give me those Star Wars. Don't let them end.
That, of course, the great Adele. Voice of an angel.
That's when Adele was funny.
Right. She's not as fun. Her voice is beautiful, but she's not as funny as she used to be. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy for what would normally be the second half of our show, but because of the radio play Miracle on Jerry Well Street, it's really the first part of our show today. So we're thrilled that you're here. You can jump in at 312-981-7200. We're going to talk a little bit about the Star Wars movie that you saw last night and I saw last night. But as always, any discussion of Star Wars will be met with this. We will not divulge anything that could possibly ruin the experience for you, I promise.
Although, you should have seen the movie by now. I talked to Connor McKnight. He's a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
He said he is seeing it on Saturday. I said, dude, you are waiting too long.
I don't think it'll still be in theaters on Saturday. I think they'll pull it probably today, sometime today.
Our own Kevin's going to maybe go see it on Saturday. Too long. You're going to have spoilers.
Actually, I can't even see it Saturday. I was thinking like a week or so,
Kevin.
At least.
I want to see it again.
Yeah. No, this is rare for you.
I have never said that before.
I don't think I've ever heard you say you want to see a movie again.
I have absorbed a lot of Star Wars stuff through my house.
I would imagine.
And I didn't even discuss it with Jim. Jimmy Mack, he saw it last night with me, and when we got home about 2 a.m, we're going to bed, and I said, did you love it? And he goes, I'm still processing it. Good night.
But you understand that, right? Because there was a lot. Again, I would just want to remind the listeners who have not seen the movie yet, because it just opened yesterday, we're not going to blow any surprises. We're not going to say anything that will give you more information that you need to get. But you understand the part of, in his head, he's been waiting for this movie for a decade or maybe more, so he finally saw it. It's going to take a little while to figure things out.
What? No,
you don't think so?
There are questions I have, like at the movie theater when I said, he asked me, he goes, did you like it? And I said, honestly, I loved it, but I have so many questions for you. And he just laughed and felt proud that he knew more than I did.
He's just not ready to answer those questions.
No, and see, that's not fun. When I see a movie or a TV show with someone, I want to discuss it.
Right.
Like you said, you and I were having a discussion about it.
Right.
Are you still processing?
Yeah, I am.
Really? But you can talk while processing?
Yeah. You know how Dean gave it an A+.
Yep.
Dean Richards saw it and gave it an A+. And I read a lot of reviews that were all right around there. I would only give an A+ to a movie that was flawless and perfect. And in my head, I'm like, I don't know how they could have improved on that. Everything worked. Although most of the movie was really good, there were a couple things that I would have improved on? I would have done them differently. And I won't go into specifics.
You can't.
I can't. I don't want to blow anything.
I loved it.
Did you?
And
like,
I find
like,
it...
Would you say that this is one of the greatest movies you've ever seen in your life? Like, to that extent?
I don't know.
That's hard to say.
I can't say that about anything.
Yeah.
I like the movie Parenthood a lot, too. But I can't put that as...
Right, I know.
You know, I can't... Why do I have to judge things?
Well, the movie keeps saying, don't you judge me all through the movie.
Oh, no, you don't judge me.
Don't you judge me.
I thought it was spectacular, and it was better than I thought... And I really found myself saying, I want to see it again.
Yeah.
And I have never done that.
Well, that's a positive. That's a good thing.
I have never done that with any movie in the movie theater.
Really?
Ever.
Really. When you saw it last night, the theater you saw it in, was it completely sold out? You couldn't get a seat anywhere?
Yes, Hollywood Boulevard, they had it showing in so many theaters there.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that place because you can order a really fine burger and you can have a beer during the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, every seat was taken.
We had, in the theater, I saw it in Evanston, and it was showing in 5 theaters, some in 2D, some in 3D, some in XD, some in...
Seriously?
4D. Where people dressed like characters walked around you while you saw the movie. That was distracting. There was a Jawa that kept touching me inappropriately while I was trying to enjoy the film. That did not feel right.
Is that a Jawa that makes that noise?
Yeah. Oh, very impressive. But there were maybe a dozen or so open seats, 15 open seats.
I heard Kim Gordon saying it's on the road to beat Jurassic World.
In terms of pre-sale tickets.
All time.
Right? I don't think Jurassic World holds the record. I think it's...
You would know.
What's the James Cameron movie? I'm blanking on the name, with the people from the other planet.
Titanic?
No, not Titanic.
Avatar.
Avatar. Thank you, Steve. I think Avatar is the all-time leader.
Why do they keep saying the Jurassic World and all the
because that had
news stories?
That had the record for
opening weekend.
Maybe, but I think for pre-sold tickets, where you'd have to buy them in advance, I think Jurassic World held that record. And again, all the records are skewed because Gone with the Wind is actually the all-time champion. But people back then were paying 4 cents to see a movie. So it would have to sell 80 billion tickets.
And you couldn't go to Fandango.
Right. They did not have, thank you, Grover Cleveland, for banning Fandango because the U.S. couldn't handle it. Stupid Grover Cleveland. But all in all, what an interesting experience it was to see a movie with people who have waited with bated breath for so long to see it. I'm sure you had this at your theater when the crawl comes up. They're all, like, pre-movie, when it just says Lucasfilm.
Yes.
People were having spaz attacks.
You're going back to the 70s and the 80s with that term.
Right.
Kudos to you.
Thank you.
You're really playing the part of the little Star Wars lover from the 77 original film.
But did you have that? It said Lucasfilm, and
everybody
people passed out. The people near me just fainted. I had to have smelling
what
salts.
What was that noise?
Don't make me do it. I am so worn out from being an actress. I am telling you right now, that is hard work.
Sure it is.
Gerard Butler was walking around filming a movie the other day, and I just said to you, I go, I hate actors. I can't believe that people just sit there and powder their face and put their scarf. No one was doing that for me today. And I need powdering.
Right.
It was hot in that room than Campbell Hall, and I was having a hot flash.
Matt Bubala was going to bring you a Diet Coke in the middle.
He did.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
What a nice man.
Did you hold it together?
I left it up there, and there were only regular Cokes left. But thank God, our little producer, Kevin Richter, I walked in our office. There's a 12er of Diet Coke, and I said, that Bubala.
Yeah.
And it was
don't
from
give
Kevin.
Him credit.
It was
yeah,
a
don't
Christmas
give
present.
A Christmas miracle.
It was a little Christmas miracle. And did you saw what Kevin, what his ensemble was during the show, our producer Kevin. You saw what he was dressed like, right?
Pajamas.
It was a onesie.
A onesie. He had a Christmas onesie.
Yeah, flannel.
It was warm.
It's not called a, he told me that too. He's like, he said, I've got a onesie. I'm like, a what?
It's a footy
pajamas. That's what you call it for an adult.
Well, my feet were uncovered.
Oh, then you got ripped off.
It's a onesie, and I didn't have a butt flap either.
No, a onesie. No, those are like coverall pajamas or something.
And a onesie, there's snaps in the...
At your crotch. You didn't see this?
Yeah.
He has snaps in his crotch.
And they're sleeveless and legless. It's just a onesie's for an infant.
I think you're confused, Steve.
Yeah, talking to three people who have had babies.
Google a onesie and see what comes up.
Oh, it's your picture.
How did that happen?
Someone needs to change you.
Immediately. A break and then more show. We'll change Kevin, our producer. Everything will be back to normal in a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Primetime comes to daytime as Patrick Kane and the Blackhawks battle Buffalo. It's a matinee special on WGN-TV Saturday. Watch Blackhawks Saturday at noon, WGN-TV.
I wonder why. We're talking about the new Star Wars movie that opened last night. Wendy saw it. I saw it at different theaters. Again, I will remind you that even though we're talking about the film, we will give away nothing, no plot points, nothing that will hurt your experience, I promise you. I wonder why they opted to open this one up at Christmas. All the other movies have always been released in May as like the first big movie of the summer. I wonder why this time around they went with a Christmas release.
That is a great question. And I do remember when The Force Awakens? No, that's this
the new one.
What's the first of the three that you didn't like?
Phantom Menace.
Okay, when Phantom Menace came out, I was due to drop Michael at any moment. That was 16 years ago?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And I remember going to Orland Park Toys R Us because at midnight the action figures went on sale, and I was so hugely pregnant, and I guarded the cart as Jim just scampered around Toys R Us.
You could have blocked the entranceway so nobody else could have gotten into the store.
I did, man. That's how Jim got all the action figures. And then he had seen it first, and 16 years ago he still had a pager, and he was very worried that when he saw it by himself that the pager was going to go off as soon as Lucasfilm comes up there. And it didn't, so he saw it, and then I went back to see it with him that night.
Yeah.
And seriously, Michael was born on May 23rd, and it opened like the 21st or 22nd or something.
Just off by a few days.
Yeah, and I sat there and did not get up once to go to the bathroom.
Is that right?
And as a pregnant woman, I know you've experienced this.
Tell me.
You have to go every like hour.
Yeah.
Less than that.
It just proves how riveting that movie is.
It is, and that wasn't one of the best ones. I didn't hate them.
Yeah.
But this one was back to old school for me.
Yeah, it had the element, the fun element that the first three had and the last three lacked. It was
the feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Lawrence Kasdan, I want to point out, who did Empire Strikes Back, he worked on the second one. They brought him in as a screenwriter on this one along with J.J. Abrams, and it makes a difference. The story is structured very similarly to the first three.
I can't tell you how much I loved it, and I'm almost shocked that I did.
Yeah.
I really did. Someone texted us and wanted to know, can you bring a 5-year-old child to it? I know that I am not the barometer for a quality mom.
Yeah.
I would say yes.
There wasn't anything in there that I think would be disturbing to a 5-year-old.
No.
And every 5-year-old is different. Some have a bigger capacity for stuff like this. But there wasn't anything blatantly, I would say, well, there's nothing sexual really in it. There's nothing overly violent.
No swearing?
No swearing.
I would say yes.
Yeah, all right. Depending on your 5-year-old.
Yeah, but even a 5-year-old who acts like a 2-year-old. I mean, seriously, if they're going to be good in the movie and be wowed.
Yeah, then they're okay.
It was pretty adorable seeing these young kids going with their, I got to be honest with you, mainly their dads.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that too. Yeah.
There were some moms and dads and kids, and there were moms with kids, but mainly it was young boys with their dads.
We were at about 75% to 80% male to female ratio. And that's, I guess, kind of what I expected. I thought there might have been more for opening night. I thought, but yeah.
There were a bunch of theaters. You don't know what was going on in somebody else's theater.
Right.
You never do.
Right. Yeah, the women's theater next door had almost all women.
Well, I absolutely loved it. Jim went to see it this morning now in 3D.
A second time
in
2 days. Wow.
I don't need to see it in 3D, I don't think. Your thoughts?
You know, this movie wasn't filmed in 3D. They added it later in the processing, and sometimes that makes a big difference. Sometimes they go out of their way when they know a movie's going to be in 3D. They do those tricks where there's certain things in the foreground and other things in the background. It played well in 3D, but I don't know that this was imperative that you see it in 3D.
You saw it in 3D?
Yeah, I did. Actually, the glasses, there's two kinds of glasses. There's the standard glasses, and then there's like these collector glasses that look like the different characters in the movie.
Seriously?
That you could buy, and one of the guys I went with bought us each a pair of those, so it didn't make the movie any better or worse, but we all wore those.
Do you now want to see it in 2D?
No, I would see it again in 3D, I guess. I'm a fan of that. I like the 3D process. I think that looks, it makes it a little better.
I like it at Disney when you're watching It's a Bug's Life and stuff like that. But when I'm trying to get into a movie.
Does it distract you?
I think so.
Does it?
And I was saving for it when it comes out on Blu-ray. I wanted to watch it on your dad's 3D TV.
Oh, yeah. He does. He's got like an amazing 3D system. It's the best I've ever seen.
How many movies
does he have? 4. That's it. They watch those same 4 movies over and over and over.
What 4 are they?
I can't remember, but every time we go over there, they pull out the drawer. It's like a little drawer, and they open it up. Which one of these do you want to see? This will be great in 3D again. All right, a quick break, and then a lot more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. Wendy's last day of the year on air with us. Although you're coming back, as you mentioned, to do a Star Wars show with Jimmy, with your husband.
Yes, because now I'm such a big Star Wars fan.
Right. People can call and ask you any Star Wars question, and you'll know the answer.
No, but we're going to do it like the side of a super fan versus a someone who just enjoyed the movie.
Right.
But that's December 30th from 10 a.m. to noon.
Let's check in now with our friend Kurt Wagner. Kurt is the owner and proprietor of TVShowPatrol.com, and we have him on every week to talk about television. How are you, Kurt?
Good, good. I saw Star Wars this week.
You saw it last night or earlier in the week?
Earlier in the week.
Yeah, and you're without giving anything away, because this is so imperative right now with so many people anxious to not know the plot lines. Did you like it? Did you love it? Did you hate it?
I'd give it a high B.
Yeah, I get that.
I loved it.
A low A.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I'm not a Star Wars geek.
I felt the nostalgia was a little too strong.
Oh, did you really? Yeah?
Yeah, because I wanted something.
Careful. That's all I'm saying,
all right.
Everybody.
Brand spanking new.
All right.
You wanted something brand spanking new? Go see the mid-3.
Now, I thought the nostalgia angle was one of their strongest points, because every time Wendy and I discussed this, every time a character came on that people knew, there was cheering and frivolity.
But no, I mean, I like that. You know, the old characters coming on, but I thought some of the plot lines seemed a little retreaded.
Yeah, maybe.
There's only so much you can do in the universe, guys.
Right, either get along with people or not get along with people. That's all you can
do. I mean, really, where else do you want to go?
They've talked, Kurt, about the idea of spinning off a character or two into their own TV shows, a Star Wars TV show. Would that be a good thing? I mean, I know they've done animated versions of it, but would a live-action version work?
I imagine it would, yeah. Are they talking about a live-action version?
They've been talking about it forever.
Who's been talking about this? You and your friends?
Yeah, my friends and I.
Because I've not heard about this.
I'll support you, Bill.
we would film it ourselves and then sell it to Lucasfilm and make a lot of money off of it. Why is that funny?
And I had to sell it to Disney.
Right. Well, remember, like, when Star Wars was at its apex in the late 70s and early 80s, they had a show called Battlestar Galactica that was kind of like Star Wars. It wasn't Star Wars, but it was kind of like it. Remember that?
Well, that it was set in space. That was about the only thing that made it kind of like Star Wars.
Beady, 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 beady. Was that?
No, that was Buck Rogers. Oh, that was Tweaky. Doing Tweaky from
Thank
Buck Rogers.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Battlestar Galactica was an amazing, wonderful, great show that should have gotten more attention than it did.
Now, you mean, are you talking about the original one, late 70s, early 80s, or the one from
a couple years
ago?
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the remake in the 2000s.
We're old, Bill.
Yeah,
faces.
Wendy and I are old. Because the one that I saw had Lorne Greene from
Bonanza. I remember that one. That one had the dog, the little robot dog.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what
Daggett.
I got.
Daggett. He was a Daggett.
Okay, careful.
I know my stuff. I'm not embarrassed.
You're not embarrassed about that, but you're embarrassed about other things.
I watched that show. That was kind of fun, but really silly.
Yeah. All right, so if it happens, it happens. If not, we'll find other things to watch.
Right.
This is the time of year with all the holiday specials, and it's kind of sad. You know, in the old days of TV, you would have a guy like Andy Williams or Johnny Mathis or you name it. They would come on and pretend to be in their home, and celebrity guest stars would stop by, but they don't seem to do that much anymore, do they?
Oh, they've had a couple of those. Bill Murray's got a very Murray Christmas on Netflix right now. That's a Christmas special with guests like that. But they had, you know, Blake Shelton's had his Christmas thing. It's already
what happened. Blake and Gwen?
No, it's just Blake. I think. I don't know if Gwen showed up on there or not. But you know, there have been some others. He's that guy who sings, like, pretends like he's a
Bublé.
Frank Sinatra, yeah, Bublé. He's had a Christmas special.
Bublé.
Can I tell you? Yeah. I have fallen in love with
Michael
Bublé.
He's got a great voice.
He is really talented.
Yeah,
Bubble.
Bubbles, as some people refer to him, Kurt. Thank you. Yeah, Bubbles has a very pleasant voice.
I have a question for you, Kurt, and it falls under the realm of TV because it's a commercial, and I see it during the Hawks game all the time, and it's for Apple, and it's got Stevie Wonder and a wonderful woman who sings and some kids. That's not his family, is it?
I don't know, but I've seen that too. She has an amazing voice.
Have you seen it yet, Bill?
I don't know that I've seen that.
It is Stevie Wonder who looks awesome, by the way. He looks so great.
He lost a lot of weight. He's in good shape again.
I wasn't going weight. I mean, he looks good. He got fat?
Yeah, for a little while he was a little overweight.
That who
happens.
Cares?
You go to the Mrs. Fields, you get some cookies, stuff happens. Okay, Wendy, come on.
All right, the woman's name is Andra Day.
And
Andra
is she
Day.
His real-life wife or just his TV commercial wife?
I think it's Andra Day.
Oh, darn it, because I told everybody, I'm like, oh, my God, look at Stevie Wonder and his family, and boy, can his wife sing. I fell for it.
No, it's just a commercial.
Yeah, she's an up-and-coming singer.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're all around their, you know, the piano and Christmas and everything.
Right.
So that's what made me think of it, Kurt. But okay, it's not his wife.
Nope.
But you know that everybody on TV, they're not really married. It's just actors and actresses, right?
Aren't we really married?
Yeah, we are. But on the commercials, they're not. and Kurt's our son. Did you know that? Spoiler
Kurt and
alert.
Kevin.
Yeah. I think Kevin was your son, yeah.
No, you're both our kids.
I just saw you changing his diapers on his onesie.
Yeah, that was awkward. That was crazy.
His legs are too long. Sorry, I'm on vacation already.
No, that's going to happen. So, Kurt, what's the best thing we should be watching holiday-wise? What should we just sit down and make a point to see?
Well, you know, I'm fascinated by the marathons because they have nothing to do with holidays. But so I always love talking about those because, like, December 23rd, Science Channel is going to do a Mythbusters marathon.
Oh, that'll be good.
248 episodes, 2,950 experiments, 1,050 myths, and 900 explosions.
That sounds pretty great.
Those are legit numbers? You didn't just make those up?
No, those are the numbers.
Wow.
According to their press release. It glassed through to January 3rd. And the other one that I think is really funny is El Rey Network's doing this thing called Kaiju Christmas, and it's all the Godzilla movies, even some that have never aired on television.
All right, I'm sorry, I have no interest in that.
In the Godzilla marathon?
Marathon, starting the 24th through to 5 a.m. the 27th.
Is it all the Godzilla movies, Kurt, or just the Christmas-themed Godzilla movies?
Well, that's just it.
Godzilla throwing Christmas trees at people.
They've done this fun video, like teaser, where it looks like he's smashing a gingerbread house.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that might be funny to see for 10 minutes.
I always love those because, you know, nothing to do with holidays, but hey, right.
What about Twilight Zone? They always have. That's the one I can't wait for.
That's New Year's Eve into New Year's Day, right?
Yeah, that's coming the 30th, I think.
Yeah, baby.
They do that every year. That's also Sci-Fi Channel, right?
Yeah, Sci-Fi is doing it. This year they're doing, 156 episodes, and it's the first time ever in HD.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing them all in consecutive order, 87-hour marathon. That will be interrupted once for WWE SmackDown.
What? Rod Serling is spinning in his grave and smoking.
He's smoking in his grave.
And that's December 30th through the 3rd, January 3rd.
Excellent. And here's a quick spoiler alert. If you're going to watch that Twilight Zone marathon, every episode ends with the main character finding out that it's been planet Earth the whole time. That's how they ended every Twilight Zone episode.
Right.
Well, that'll be fun.
That is fun. And you know, how many times have you seen all these episodes and yet you come across one? And it's still as fresh as ever in my eyes.
Those episodes
are
perfect.
Yeah, Sci-Fi's done this every year for like, 10?
Forever. Yeah.
At least,
And that's one of those shows that even if you're flipping around and you come across it, you find yourself going all of a sudden, wow, I've been watching this for 3 hours. How did that happen so quickly? I just watched 6 episodes. I didn't even realize it. Yeah, really, really good. All right, let's take a quick break. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions for Kurt or for us or any comments, we're at 312-981-7200. We'll be right back. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN. I don't like saying get your anything on.
Yeah, but you know why you did it?
Because why?
It's snowing. It's a Christmas miracle, Bill. The sun is just beating down on Michigan Avenue, and there are lovely little white snowflakes coming
out. Very pretty. Kurt, I'm sorry you're missing this. You had to do this from home today instead of come in studio, huh?
Yeah, I did. I had an interview at 1. So.
Oh, you did?
Who'd you talk to?
Big name? One of the big names?
I talked to Glencoe's own Lily Taylor.
Oh, she's good.
She is good.
Talented actress.
What's she been in?
Lily Taylor?
I do know the name. She's been around.
A lot of John Cusack movies.
Yes.
Yeah, she's done tons of things.
Yeah, she's talented.
She's in the new season of American Crime starting January 6th.
Oh, right. Can I ask you, we were talking about the marathons this time of year. A lot of the networks will show you a big marathon. Now, how have things changed? Because back in the old days of these marathons, that was your only chance to see episodes of any given show back to back to back. But now we have the option of binge watching shows.
Just got Fargo from Netflix on disc. We're going to watch it.
You're going to love it. So does this increase people's want or urge to see a show in marathon form, or has it diminished it?
I think there's more now because people are used to it, so the networks are doing it more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the problem still is the commercials.
Right. It is, isn't it?
I hate sitting through. I think that the reason more networks do marathons now is just simply because of that. They know people will sit through several hours.
I have not seen one episode of Mad Men, so that's something I want to binge watch, too.
It's so worth seeing. It really is.
But Fargo, you have been recommending for so long. And Kurt, you're into Fargo too, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I was hoping we had, you know, it's a little depressing when you get the mood to do it and you get some time and you go and you check and it's not available for streaming.
Yeah.
But the hubby went ahead and ordered it through Netflix. It arrived, and that's going to be some Christmas watching.
I would say, and Kurt, you'll know this probably better than me, it's very hard to adapt a really good movie. The film Fargo is magnificent, and it's really hard to transfer that to television. And it's a different storyline. Now, they're on their second season, so it's two different storylines than the movie. But I would say of any of the movies that they've transitioned to TV, this works about the best, wouldn't you think, Kurt?
Oh, yeah, and it's because, you know, they're not redoing the movie. A lot of times they redo things, and it's like, you know, why'd you do that? It's already done. But what I love about Fargo is that it's still in that universe, you know? And there are little Easter eggs that relate to the movie or the second season to the first season, and if you watch carefully, you can pick up on those. So there's some, like, a character might be way older in the second season than he was in the first, or you know, things like that. But there are references back, and so it's in the same universe, but it's completely different crimes and people and stories. Yeah,
Kurt, I was mentioning the other day how Donald Trump was on with Jimmy Kimmel, and I was saying that because of the people that are hosting the late night talk shows now, and they're all pretty good. You got about four really strong options at 10:30. That I don't really have any brand loyalty to one show or the other. If a guest looks good on Jimmy Fallon that night, I'll watch Jimmy Fallon. If Stephen Colbert has somebody on that I want to see, I'll watch Stephen Colbert. Are a lot of people doing that, or are people picking sides when it comes to the late night hosts?
I couldn't tell you, but that's kind of what I do too.
Isn't it better that way?
You guys should do it together.
Kurt, you want to come over and watch TV with me at night?
A lot of times people just wait.
He didn't answer. Did you notice Kurt refused to answer?
And watch the YouTube stuff, you know, watch it all.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the girls that was on The Daily Show, Samantha Bee, has her own show coming up. Do you know anything about it? Because I always thought she was one of the best correspondents on The Daily Show, but now she's going to be front and center on her own show. Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, she has two shows coming up, as a matter of fact. One she's in, and one... Excuse me, one she's in and producing and writing, and then one she's doing with her husband, who's also a producer.
Oh, Jason Jones.
She's in one and he's in the other. Oh. Let me see if I can find him.
Jason Jones is his name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a correspondent on Daily Show for a long time, too. Very talented, both of them.
Yeah. But, of course, now I'm not going to be able to find it. But hers has her name in the title. And then I can't remember the name of the other one. But sorry, I'm having...
That's all right. No, you don't lose points.
Somebody wants to know while you're looking, is Suits going to be on another season?
Oh, yeah. It's coming back sometime in January.
Yeah, it's just guys dressed in leisure suits and then sometimes dressier suits.
There's a show like that?
Yeah, you wouldn't like it because you very rarely
wear
a suit.
I can't watch a show called Suits.
What is it,
Kurt? What is that show?
It's a show about lawyers.
Yeah.
Oh, the Suits, man.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Samantha Bee show. What is it going to be called? Full Frontal Samantha Bee.
Oh, that's provocative.
Yeah, I heard. You know, your was really twisted. Oh,
I'll make sure no one's home when I watch that.
It's going to be on TBS. And then her husband's show is called The Detour, and that's more of a sitcom, I think.
Not as provocative a title. I'm out.
Yeah.
I want a titillating title, or you don't win my attention.
You're not in.
No, that's my rule. So what is there something coming up? Because what we've got going on now is a lot of your major shows like The Walking Dead or like Blacklist or the list goes on and on. A lot of them now stopped showing new episodes right around Thanksgiving, and they're not coming back until January, right? Is that what we're seeing a lot of?
Yeah.
Well, so
yeah, I don't think Walking Dead comes back to February.
Oh, I cannot make
that's
it that long.
Long.
Is Fear the Walking Dead just going to be in a summer show, or is that going to be... Why don't they put that on in between?
That's too much dead people.
Because they haven't made it
I
yet.
See dead people.
You can't have that many dead people. There's laws in this town. Obama.
Yeah, there's plenty of other things to watch, though.
So those shows will never run concurrently. When one is down, the other one will be up. They'll
that
keep doing it back and forth.
Smarter.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Smart. Those two aren't going to ever be on at the same time. And I think that AMC has really embraced the split season. So, like they did with Mad Men and some of their other shows. You know, they did it with Walking Dead, too.
But, Kurt, that didn't used to be a thing, right? Like, they didn't stop showing shows around Thanksgiving and then revisit them. That's just something that we've experienced in the last couple of years, right? I don't remember that when I was younger.
Right. It's true. And I think they decided that those last couple of weeks of the year, nobody really watches.
Now, this will be the last time Wendy and I have you on for this year, for 2015. I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but if you had to pick the best show of the year, the most innovative, thought-provoking show of 2015, what do you think you'd pick?
Well, this is why I haven't made a list, because because I can't decide.
Is it too hard?
This is not on anybody's list, but I still loved Sense8, which was a Netflix show.
You've mentioned Sense8 to us. Yeah. Remind us, what is Sense8 again?
It is. It's just...
it's a karate instructor.
Is that what it is?
It's a show about 8 people who realize at some point that they are connected sort of emotionally and in their heads, and they can become present in the other person's lives and help them out physically, even.
That's like what I do for Bill every day.
Wendy does do that for me every day, Kurt. All right, so we're living Sense8. That's the best show, according to Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com.
That show that I really got into, and I really love the ideas that it brought forward. It's totally different than anything else you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then
Man in the High Castle, too, on Amazon.
All right.
Very thought-provoking.
And then if I said to you the same question, but the worst show, what was the biggest train wreck on the television for 2015? They got nothing right. What would it be?
I'm trying to think because I would see an episode and just be done. There's so many of them. I can't come up with it.
No, that's okay. It just shows, Kurt, and this is why Wendy and I love you so much, you focus on the positive. You refuse to acknowledge the negative.
And it's hard to do the top show or the one worst.
Yeah.
You can say which ones don't you like, but you just asked me. I said I love Star Wars. Bill's like, is it the best movie you've ever seen in your life? I'm like, I don't know. It's too, like, you can't make a decision. What's your favorite movie of all time,
Bill? The Godfather.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he was quick with that.
Yeah.
He's just got rehearsed answers. He doesn't even mean it.
But you see, I have this piece of paper right here, and I was trying to make a list of 10, and I have like 30 on here.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's extensive. That's a lot. Wow.
And then I started making little tick marks, you know, okay, I got to narrow it down. So I made X's, and then there's like 20 with X's. And
yeah.
If I keep going, maybe I'll be able to eventually get it down. But there's so many, and they're... You know, there's so many different types of things on TV right now, which is what's great about it.
Yep. So true. Yeah. Well, Kurt, again, we're not going to see you between now and the end of the year, so we hope you have a great holiday season. We appreciate you being part of the show with us.
You do, and let me end with this noise right here.
All right.
Did you hear it?
Yes, it sounded like some animal from the jungle.
It sounded like a Darth Vader party favor.
That's Godzilla.
Oh, Kevin, you win.
The gingerbread houses. Ask Kevin, I sent you the link.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
You guys come on the December TV listings for all the marathons and stuff. And
all
you
right.
can see that video there, too,
and
on TVShowPatrol.com.
TVShowPatrol.com. It's right there on your internet. Thank you, Kurt Wagner. Have a great holiday.
All right, happy holidays.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
That's our friend Kurt Wagner. Kurt. We'll take a quick break. Then Wendy will give you a list of all the greatest things on the planet. You have that ready?
No.
We'll get to that in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I bet you chose this selection.
I did. How did you know that I chose this selection?
How did you know?
What, Steve?
This song reminds me of Christmas because...
This is a Christmas classic.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it reminds me of, like, I think sophomore year in college, it was really big in December.
Yeah.
For some reason, every time I hear it,
I think of
this time of year.
It's funny the two guys on the show remember this
song.
I just learned that Steve Bertrand was a sophomore in college in 1982.
See that? There we go.
Yep.
You were not.
You're right, I'm a liar. Yeah, I was.
What year did you graduate high school?
Well, I would put that around 1981.
Right around
well,
there.
Well, then, 82, you would be a freshman.
Steve's school, they did it in reverse.
I was a freshman in 1981. I was a freshman in college.
Yeah.
And in 1982, I was a sophomore.
What year were you born, Kevin?
1987.
Wow.
Are you being funny?
Wow.
No.
Mr. Onesie Boy?
It's called a union
suit,
someone
told me. You really
got
to kick out of that, huh? I can't open names right now.
Who cares? We're on vacation.
Here's the question I posed to you, and it's the reason that we played the Christmas favorite Maneater. Now, I know that this question is better suited to somebody in the law profession, but they're not here and you're here, so I'll ask you this. Can you be sued if you eat somebody? Like, if you're in a situation where you're forced to resort to cannibalism, can you be sued for eating the people around you?
No.
You cannot. All right. Listen to this then. Ready? A Salvadorian fisherman. That's the other reason I asked you, because I know that you're also a Salvadorian fisherman.
I am. Only in my spare time.
A Salvadorian fisherman who survived 438 days lost at sea is now being sued by his dead shipmate's family over allegations that he ate the man in order to stay alive.
Well, did the man die first, or did he kill him to eat him? Because if you kill somebody to eat them, yes, you can be sued.
That's a good point.
If he's dead and just, you know, dead weight,
there,
literally,
yeah,
then
you
chomp on.
Chomp on. That's right. The family of Ezequiel Cordoba, who was...
Fine Corinthian leather.
Was reported.
What, no, Steve? It was flesh.
Right, it was flesh. But after a while in the sun, it looks like it's fine Corinthian leather.
Really, Donatella Versace looks like she's got fine Corinthian leather all over her face. Get out of the sun and here's some sunscreen.
For people who don't get the reference, the rich Corinthian leather was what Ricardo Montalban used to use to sell a car.
A Cordoba.
But then it was discovered that there was no such thing as Corinthian leather. That was something
But it sounded very good
sounded
when
exotic.
I said it.
It sounded
fine
so exotic.
Fine Corinthian leather.
The family of Ezequiel Cordoba, who was reported to have starved to death months into the ordeal, this is his family now, they're seeking $1 million, and they put their pinkies in their teeth when they asked for that sum.
They didn't eat him.
No, they didn't, but they're asking for $1 million. And anytime you ask for $1 million, by law, you have to put your pinky finger in your mouth.
$1 million.
You have to ask
for it say
that
it way. $1 million. Right.
That was one reference that I caught, and Wendy didn't. Normally, it's the other way around.
I thought you meant picking his teeth
because
he ate the guy.
No, no, Dr. Evil fashion. This according to El Diario.
Well, yeah, if you eat someone.
All right, stop it. This is the name of a legitimate...
Not if you take Healthy Trinity.
This is... Oh, you
will
you
not
guys,
get that.
Don't, please. Don't,
nope, nope.
Don't do this. This according to El Diario.
Can I just say that there was alcohol at the party?
I didn't have
I
any.
I didn't either, but we, didn't that, have we should have.
We should have. Jose Salvador... Now, at this point in the story, I'm just going to name Spanish people. I'm not even going to tell you any more details about the story. I'm just going to name Spanish people. Jose Salvador Alvarengo, the world's... Don't. Don't. The world's...
she'll be back on Wednesday.
I know.
Oh, my God.
The world's longest surviving castaway, Wendy. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for surviving castaways.
Was he on a three-hour tour?
No. He was for 438 days, this man... Originally, there were two Salvadorian fishermen, but he was the surviving. He has repeatedly denied the accusation. I didn't eat him. Like,
well,
how long? You could tell if a guy ate another guy. There's bite marks in him, right? You could
not
tell.
If he disappeared. Oh, you finish ate, a guy, you throw
right,
the bones overboard.
Right.
You don't leave the bones
yikes.
There.
I couldn't possibly finish this. I'm just one man. Who could eat a whole meal like this?
I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
I will once again say the name because it's
no,
imperative
don't.
To the
I'm
story.
Crying and I have to go to the bathroom.
Jose Salvador Alvarengo. don't. This is such a sad story. Why this? All right. Here's what it says. Instead, now the men ran into a massive storm, and they seemingly vanished. This is the story.
Yeah, because one was eaten. That's how he vanished.
Can I ask you? This is a sidebar to the story. In a situation where your only way that you could survive, this is it. You're at sea. You're in the Salvadorian Sea. You and your friend Ezequiel. And there's no other way that you can survive than to munch on your friend Ezequiel. Would you or would you not resort to that? What would you do?
I would eat him.
You would eat him. Would you wait till he was dead or would you just like distract him and when he wasn't looking, nibble on him?
Is that a fish? Look down.
Dios mío. This is. I hope this never happens to us because I mean,
you would never.
Oh, I would.
I'm going to rephrase this, okay? Because
yeah.
I don't want Nick DeGilio. But you would never. If I, you wouldn't.
You can't do it.
You wouldn't.
Why?
I'm not healthy enough. You would go. She used to smoke. She
right.
drank too much.
I would
I'm not
eat
gonna
you.
Take a bite out.
I
of
would
her.
Not eat you.
I know.
Under any circumstances.
I know. I wouldn't eat you either.
Why wouldn't you eat me? I'm in pretty good shape.
That's why. I would be tender.
Who would you eat?
I'd be marbleized. You would not. You would be tough.
Who? I don't know that I'd be tough. I'd be
because you're so muscular.
You'd be Corinthian like.
I think I'd be a pretty good meal. I really do. I really do. Who would you eat here? If let's say
I love this. Thank God this is my last day of work.
This is an old bit that Roy Leonard used to right. do all the time. Who would you eat here
it,
at the
it was
station?
This, it was this Christmas call. Who would
right,
you eat here?
Right. Right. Who? Let's say our station was on lockdown for a long time. Nobody could come in and nobody could, would come out. Who would you eat here at WGN? Who would be your first choice? Connor McKnight? Would you eat Connor McKnight? Think about it. He's very lean.
That wouldn't be tasty. You want, and that's why if I say who I'd eat, they'd think, oh, you're saying that I could lose a few?
Right. No, we're not saying
when
that.
When you go ribeye, it's marbleized and it's delicious.
Right. But I just mean for nutritional value in a situation where you were pressed to have to eat somebody.
So who's
here,
the healthiest here?
Yeah, who would you eat?
On this show or the whole radio station?
The whole station.
Todd Manley.
Would you eat Todd Manley? Mm-hmm. Would you really?
It hurts a little bit.
Wow.
You just hurt
Steve's feelings. I hope he's listening.
I don't mean in a bad way. That's a compliment that I'd eat Todd Manley.
Yeah, it is a compliment.
So you want to eat Todd Manley. I see.
Now, are we talking dead or alive?
Probably under that, under those sad circumstances.
Yeah, I think Connor's a little put out.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think he's a little sad.
Right. I think Connor's adorable, but I, you know.
He's not your taste in food.
Did I lose something?
No,
no, Bill wants to know who I'd eat if, like, we were.
Sure.
I know this sounds. We're on the air, aren't we?
Oh, I don't think so. Are we on today? We are on.
I just, you know, you are. Bill said you're very lean, and you are, and I said that you might not be tasty.
I probably wouldn't be a very large meal, but it'd be a good one.
See,
that's what I'd like to think.
That's not bad. If you were president, you had to eat somebody, wouldn't you go, Connor? I think Connor'd make a good meal.
I just hope that I could be of use when it's all said
could
and
could be a way to break you in.
Right.
Start small.
Right.
Like an appetizer?
Or d'oeuvres.
Judy Pilak would be a good meal, wouldn't she?
See, now, if she's listening, she thinks that you're saying something bad about her.
I'm not saying anything bad. That's a compliment. I just think if push came to shove and you need a
you'd
little
love.
You'd
have to, yeah.
Then, you know, Judy would be a good meal, I think. With a side dish, I would want
a side dish of Connor.
Maybe. I was thinking cottage fries, but yeah, if Connor was all that was available, sure. Yeah.
I just, I don't want to think about that
no.
because, you know, you think of that, what was that movie, Alive?
Yeah, with the crash in the Andes where
the
soccer
team
had to eat.
Well, there's one out now, The Heart of the Sea, where there's cannibalism.
Oh, is that, does that happen
Is it based on this El Salvadorian?
No.
No.
This is separate. This is a separate story.
19th century.
He wrote a book, 438 Days, An Extraordinary True Story of Survival at Sea. But, boy, that to resort to that, I mean,
I'm a picky eater
anyway.
You totally are.
You bring in food from the cafeteria every day. Like, I'm not eating that. How could I eat another person? I would never do well under those circumstances.
I could not go. I don't like raw sushi, so how could I eat a raw person?
That's true.
Like if I had a propane tank or a Bunsen burner in my...
If you could grill somebody, then it'd be all right.
Oh, then it'd be any of you, depending on how hungry I was.
You wouldn't show any kind of restraint whatsoever.
Just somebody clean.
Grill involved. That's not a lot to ask.
Mm-mm.
That's not
what, right. Kevin?
This is taking a dark turn to
this
show.
You know, the show started with a miracle on Jerry Wells Street.
And right. What has happened?
We're just trying to balance it out. I mean, come on. Sam, what do you think?
I'm just really asking myself here. I mean, how bad of fishermen are they that they got to resort to eating themselves?
Right. There's a sea right next to them. Why don't they fish, right?
Exactly.
Where's their rods and reels and hooks and nets?
Sam, I'd eat you because you're so smart.
Oh.
I'm just curious, that's all.
Right. If
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Thanks,
you
Sam.
As well, I embarrassed
If your trade
him.
Is
go.
Fishing
She's
and you're in a
me.
Boat at sea, you would think your best option would be, well, let's just cast one over and see what we got. Maybe they ran out of bait. Maybe they ate the bait or something.
Why would they eat the bait?
They were, I don't know. In my head, I'm like, what could have led to them one guy
Didn't
eating the other guy?
Didn't they get lost in a storm? Didn't you read that, the first paragraph?
They
or
did
have
get
we
lost
forgotten
in a,
about
they were
that?
Lost in a storm.
Well, I'm sure the rods and reels blew off the boat.
Oh, all right. That's fair.
And that's when you eat the bait.
Then you eat the bait.
And then when you're out of bait.
Then you eat Ezekiel
you eat
Cordova.
Eat your mate.
Right. Eat the bait and then your mate. That's what it says on the boat. It says it on a plaque on the boat. All right, let's take a quick break. Nobody eat each other. We're going to come right back on 1TWGN. I was watching the news last night, and they did something, and I see them do this every year at this time. There's about a week left of Christmas shopping, and then you're kind of out of luck because the holiday's there, and if you don't have your gifts for people, what are you going to do? It's too late, right?
Yes.
So this is crunch time in the shopping business, right? So what they do is they put people at the key shopping centers like Woodfield Mall, and they kind of determine how busy it is or isn't at the mall. and then they ask people how their Christmas shopping is going. And then, this is the part that I wanted to bring up with you, they ask people how much they plan on spending this year for Christmas gifts for their loved ones. And the people always answer, and then they show you a graph or a chart that shows that it's either up or down from the last 5 or 10 years. Would you have any idea, like,
no,
if somebody stopped you, would you even have an inkling of what you were going to spend on a holiday? I couldn't even guess.
Well, because what you get different people, that price varies too, doesn't it?
Oh, every year, sure. Because when you're shopping, you're just kind of looking around and then you see something and you go, I think she would like that. I think he would like that. And then you get it. I know you have to have some sort of a budget, like you don't want to go over or under by too much.
Yeah.
But they show you some graphic and they go, your average Christmas shopper is going to spend $493 this year. And you go, somebody said that? Somebody went, this year, $493.
I would have no idea.
Not an idea. No clue for me.
So you guys with like your spouses don't set limits or anything like
no.
that? Like,
no.
Really?
No.
Huh.
No.
We do.
See, we don't. I mean, we buy gifts for each other all year.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I'm done shopping. I mean, I've purchased so much stuff for my kids and my husband that
right.
I don't even like have to give them a present. So now I just try and pick out something I think they'd like.
That's
and
not
I,
a
I
bad
don't
idea.
Really set a certain limit. And some years it's higher than others.
Right. Well, we always base it on if we have any money, because there's been years at
That's
Christmas
a good
time
thing to base it
where
on.
We don't have any money and those years. But then there's a game that I think only married people play. Kevin, you're not married yet. You're engaged, so I don't know if you have played this game yet. But where you say to your loved one, to your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, you know what? Let's make a pact this year and not get each other a present.
Oh.
Yeah,
you know what I
that
mean?
That always goes awry.
Somebody always breaks that pact
yeah.
and then everybody feels bad. Because somebody goes, oh, when you said we're not going to get each other anything, I didn't think you meant nothing at all. So here's this. And then the other person goes, no, I kind of meant nothing. What do we do now?
I'm getting so sick of the monetary and hustle and bustle of Christmas. I wanted to sit around and roast chestnuts. That'll be my present to my family.
That's a traditional holiday gift.
I'll pay for them.
That's not bad. You'll be down $3, maybe $4.
Are you kidding? Chestnuts are so expensive, $3 to $4 each.
I told you, if you get the ones, you can get them pre-nutted. They're already out of the nut. All you do is microwave them.
Out of
They're
the shell.
You know, when the kids were younger, I'm like, we're going to roast chestnuts this year. It's going to be great. And I put them in the oven.
Yeah.
And they just exploded.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, you didn't cut the hole in them?
I thought I did, but not enough.
You got to cut an X in them, Steve.
All of a sudden, you're like, what? Did you hear that? What
right.
was that?
Every time I've tried to bake them, and I have every year tried, I never seem to master it. You're supposed to put a little X or just cut a little snippet of... it's the pointy part that I snip a little of that into.
Right.
I soak them in water because various years I notice they're really dry because you have to leave them at a low temperature, like
right.
350, for like an hour and some.
No, not an hour.
Yes.
I do 20 minutes. Do you do an hour?
Do you have a super powered like 5,000 degree oven?
Yes.
Oh.
I do. Do you do an hour? I always do 20 minutes. And then even at 20 minutes, some come out burned. Some come out like they weren't even in the
yeah.
oven at all.
And some are raw.
Right.
There is no actual way to cook a chestnut.
There's no congruency
no.
in the chestnut kingdom. I don't know what's wrong with the chestnuts. They don't play by the rules. That's why I'm telling you, get the microwave ones. They come in a bag. They're already out of the nut. You put them in the microwave
out
for
30. Out of the shell. They're not
out of
the nut because they are a nut.
They are the nut. So they're out of the shell, they're deshelled, and then 30 seconds later, you have an array of chestnuts, each one perfect.
Somebody said when you talked about these before that Trader Joe's has them.
They're not. Trader Joe's has them, and they're okay.
How do you know this stuff?
What are you, a chestnut raider?
I don't like to brag,
First
but...
First of all, you know what degree and how long. I mean, how often do people
Steve,
do this?
Visit my website, chestnutsarethebest.com, and learn more.
How to roast chestnuts.
By Bill
oh.
Leff. I wrote
Only
this.
20 to 30 minutes.
See called, what I mean?
It's called out of the nut.
Not,
when cooked, the shells will burst open and the chestnut will be golden brown. The tricky part is actually knowing when they're done. So, Steve, with yours exploding, that's how you know they're done.
Right.
Right.
I have a beautiful picture. I don't know if I have it on my phone of this big tray of chestnuts outside in Rome from our trip last year.
Were they delicious?
I wasn't going to eat them.
Really? Why?
We were just walking by.
Oh.
And we weren't sure. We're like, are those chestnuts?
You're allowed to eat them. If they're selling them, you can eat them.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Instructables.com, which is a very fun website if you have kids to make things,
mm-hmm.
That says 350 degrees for 35 to 45 minutes.
That seems too
That's
long.
That's what I do. You want glossy, firm nuts.
Tell me. That's so, that not just at Christmas time either, Wendy. That's year round. All right, we're going to take a break. Steve's going to give you the news. And then a visit from everybody's favorite Christmas friend, David Plyer, coming up after the news. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I'm Coco. You're supposed to do the Joe, Bill.
You want me to do it? Wait, do it. Set it up again.
It's coming.
A story fantastic. A story so queer. It's all about Santa and his helpers, three. There's Hard Rock and Coco and Joe.
That is frightening.
That's my real voice. This is my fake radio voice, but my real voice is And Joe.
But that's all nice. You can say.
That's
so.
All I can say is And Joe. It wouldn't be Christmas, Wendy, without a visit from everybody's favorite little Christmas elf, Dave Plyer, who we all know from this station, of course, from WGN, his work here, and also as the vice president of the Broadcast Museum. Hi, Dave. Nice to see you.
Good morning to you.
Nice to see
it's
you.
Good afternoon.
Nice job on the play, by the way.
Oh, and to you.
You did groundbreaking
a nice job earlier today.
Yeah.
It was good.
Was it fun?
Yeah. You were good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So were you.
And by the way, people have been wondering if they didn't hear it earlier this morning. We are going to replay that, I believe, on Christmas Eve, probably Christmas Day, and you will definitely be able to find it on WGNRadio.com.
Yeah, if
it's
you missed
rotate
it, don't
a few
worry.
Times, yeah.
Yep, it will. Yeah. The snippet we just played, of course, from the holiday classic Hard Rock, Coco and Joe. It is, for me anyway, and I know for a lot of other people who grew up in Chicago, when you see it or when you hear it, you automatically revert back to the 1960s of
and
watching
Santa
it.
On his way.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yep.
It's just a thing of beauty.
It's 1953 that Fraser Thomas on Garfield Goose, when it was on WBKB, it was actually on CBS before it went to WGN.
Yeah.
He used to play them on the air. They were made like as music videos to sell 45 records and sheet music.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they were made
really?
For. And they were intended to like play them for a couple of years and be done with it. And because he played them, and there's only one other station, I think it's in Philadelphia, that did something very similarly on a children's show for like 20, 30 years, that it's near and dear to their hearts as well.
Yeah.
But when you play it anywhere outside of the market, nobody has ever seen these. Nobody knows what they're all about.
You know,
so it's just local.
It's really because of the, it was on the air down on Garfield Goose, but then it played on Bozo, then
right.
the WGN Morning News.
They
played on the news program even.
But interestingly, with these, they played them every single day. Like usually somebody would say, well, we'll play it once a week or a couple times during the holiday. But they played it every day.
Right.
And I wouldn't leave, when I was getting ready for school, I wouldn't leave my house until I had seen them on Garfield Goose. I was late for school every day in December because I didn't want to miss it.
Yeah, of course.
It's the strangest thing. A company called Centaur Productions, I believe, was responsible for these, right?
Yeah, they did.
Is that half man, half horse?
Yeah, I think that's a centaur. Yeah.
They did Hard Rock and Susie because it was like that stop motion, early stop motion animation that they did. It was a sculptor that used to work for Walt Disney. His name was Wamin Chang that sculptured all these little pieces and and then would just create these little effects to make the cartoon. And it was years ago, about 7 years ago, we decided to digitally remaster them because they were in really, really bad shape. Like everybody's copy, WGN's copy, our copy were in bad shape. So it was like 12 minutes of video that took, I think, 70 hours, like one summer, going through and cleaning every little bit of it up. That's how long this stuff takes. And they started taking out the lines that held the puppets. And I'm like, no. We got to put
that's part of the charm.
Absolutely. Seeing the snowflakes kind of dangle and Susie Snowflake going all over the place. So at some point, we digitally remastered them. They air on Bozo Garn Ray, which Dean Richards hosts every Thanksgiving. But then we also made them available on DVD, too.
What a great Christmas gift, though. Like, my brother lives in Peoria. He's not going to – well, he might see him. But if you have somebody who is, like, out of state, who grew up here, what a great Christmas gift.
Yeah, that's at museum.tv, or you can go to the Museum of Broadcast Communications on 360 North State Street and get it in the store there. But it was Hard Rock, Coco and Joe, and then Susie Snowflake. And they all started at different times. Like, I think he started playing Susie in, like, 53. He played Hard Rock, Coco and Joe in 56. Frosty was more of an animation. It was done by a company called United Productions of America, and it was like this limited animation that they did.
Right.
And same guys that did Mr. Magoo and the Dick Tracy cartoons.
Oh, really?
So they weren't, you know, the movement was kind of, you know, jiggery when you went through the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember specifically with Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe, there's little elements, and it's funny because you remember it as a complete entity, but when you sometimes just think about the little scenes, for instance, there's this one scene of the reindeer. You see him only in silhouette up in the sky, and it's just such a magical look. And there's also a way that the North Pole is backlit when the reindeer flying away from it.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know who designed all that, but boy, does it work.
Did you notice that as a kid or now as an adult watching it? Because, boy, you watched with a very special eye.
It was trying to figure out what's so intrinsic about it. You know, I would try to analyze it and go, why does this mean so much? But I think it had to do with half and half, just the way it was shot and also the fact that you're a kid and Christmas is coming and there's all the anticipation.
And everything's magical.
Everything's magical.
But you got to think about the early 50s, too. They weren't really even playing all the Warner Brothers cartoons at the times or the Popeyes.
Right.
They weren't playing a lot of cartoons on television in the early 1950s. So just this alone, even though it was so simple, was so special because you were watching a cartoon on television, because really the only place you could see those things usually were in the movie theaters.
Well, these predated the Charlie Brown Christmas special and Rudolph and easily by a decade.
Bill, you love controversy, as do I, and Rita is claiming that she saw these shorts in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia.
Oh, you did say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Channel 6 over there or something. There were some children's show that played it there, and they play it every year for like 40, 50 years. So those people there get it too, but that's really...
Right.
And you love it, don't you, Rita?
Oh, I did. No matter where we were in the house, my sister and I would run to the TV to watch it. You know, I think it might have been out of Pittsburgh, but I'm not sure. But and it was great.
But they were steel workers in that version, right, Dave? I'm trying to remember. They weren't Santa elves.
And coal miners, too.
Right.
That's awesome.
Rita, have a very, very Merry Christmas. And Paul has a question, too, for Dave Plyer. Hey, Paul.
Hey, I was wondering if you have any idea who wrote the vocal arrangement for those two songs, because they're a cappella and they're flawless.
You know, not who wrote them. I know who performed them. Like Susie Snowflake was done by the Norman Luboff Choir, which used to back up Frank Sinatra and Harry Belafonte. But but the main woman who sang it was Norma Zimmer. And you remember who Norma Zimmer was? She was also famous for something else for years.
Was she Zuzu? No, that was Carolyn Grimes.
She was the champagne lady on the Lawrence Welk show.
That's right. That was her.
Like, she just died a couple years ago, actually. But yeah, but she did that way long time in the early 50s.
Wow.
I'm amazed by
that. That's her voice, yeah. That's her voice.
And why did they get the Sinatra? Or I mean, it seems like they would have gone local to do this, but that's pretty impressive.
It is. And they did. Well, don't forget, they didn't produce them here. They produced them in New York or L.A. or wherever Centaur Productions was at the time.
Yeah.
But they did that for a lot of the holiday specials. Like they did that for Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe and Susie Snowflake, just a random choir. They were. I was talking to Lee Mendelson, who did Charlie Brown Christmas, and they did the song. They went to a church that was doing Christmas carols, and they said, "Well, would you mind if we just taped you doing Hark the Herald Angels Sing? And can you do one more song for us?" And gave them another one. So some of this is so random. Like,
that's
you would think
cool.
This was so planned, but it was
so random.
But you
know what, Dave? There was a woman who had kind of a semi-hit with Susie Snowflake, who's not the woman you're talking about, because I looked for the 45 of it.
And it's different.
When I was in high school, it was a different woman. Yeah. And that version's okay, maybe because it's not the one we grew up with. But I remember looking for years and years for a 45 and finding one, and it's this other woman singing it.
Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe is also 45, and it's a whole different group that
it's
did
a different
that
arrangement.
As well. Like, why you wouldn't just put that on a 45 or something? Yeah. I don't get it either. Yeah.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We're talking about some Chicago classic Christmas moments. You got Susie Snowflake, Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe, and Frosty the Snowman, which, again, are available
Happy
birthday. Jackie Vernon. Those are available to you at the Chicago Museum.
Museum.tv.
Museum.tv is your best bet if you want to purchase them. Can I ask how expensive they are? They're not going to break the bank.
$1 million.
They're like $25, and there's also Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe ornaments that you can buy, too, for the tree,
that's
which
cute.
Are pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah. We just started doing those last year. I've got a couple to give away, too.
All right.
How do you want to do it?
Yeah, we have two winners. Sorry.
All right.
How do we do that?
So I've got two questions. You want to do that?
Yes.
Okay. In the lyrics of the song for Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe, the three little men, Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe, were only how many feet high?
Oh, good question.
Okay.
All right.
And then the second question, what are the only two of Santa's reindeers mentioned in Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe?
Excellent questions.
Boom.
Do you know how many people are going through it and singing it in their head right now to get to the answers?
I know. All right, so again, those two questions are, how many feet high are Hard Rock Coco and Joe, and what are the two reindeers that are mentioned by name in that same special? Yeah. If you're the first caller to know either one of those at 312-981-7200, you'll win the prize package Dave Plyer just told you about. We'll come back and talk more about this and another exhibit that's coming to the Chicago Museum in just a little bit, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I don't really want to talk over this, but we must because Dave Plyer is visiting with us today, and you asked a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember what those questions were? Because I sure don't.
I do. In the lyrics of the song, Three Little Men, Hard Rock Coco and Joe, how many feet high were they?
And Rick, you think you have the answer, huh?
Hi, Wendy. I think so. 2 feet tall?
That's it.
Two feet tall.
Yep. 2 feet high. You got it, brother.
All right. And he has one.
And the other one is...
What's the prize?
I'm sorry. It's the digitally remastered DVD of Hard Rock Coco and Joe, Susie Snowflake Frosty, and and Peter Cottontail.
Very rare Peter Cottontail.
He played that too. Yeah.
Stay on the line, Rick. We'll get your info.
And the other question?
What are the only two of Santa's reindeer mentioned in Hard Rock Coco and Joe?
Tori thinks she knows that. Hi, Tori.
I'm sure she does.
Hi, it's Donner and Blitzen.
Boom.
Away, away.
Yeah.
Away, away. Yeah. God, this brings me back. All right, hang on the line. We'll set, Dave will set you up. We won't do anything.
Dave, who is the old lady they keep referring to in the song? Oh, the old lady, I owe. Who is that
old lady?
Hang on,
Tori.
I want to know more about the old lady.
I don't know who that would be.
Very mysterious.
They should call her the elderly woman, not old lady.
Yeah, we're being politically correct again.
Yes.
I got to tell you, when we digitally remastered these, my son was watching them and all cleaned up, and I said, look, we digitally remastered them. We cleaned them up. He said, they're still in black and white.
I swear to you, the first time we showed them to my nephews when they were little, I was so excited to show them. And they went for the TV to fix the buttons to see how they could fix it. The TV shouldn't be in black and white.
Yeah, it shouldn't anymore. You're right.
But how much more magical are they somehow in black and white?
Yeah.
They seem more dreamlike.
They wouldn't work in
color.
I'm sorry.
I wouldn't want to see that.
No doubt about it.
You're giving me an idea, though. But
did anything happen? Did anyone
Some people would want to see it in color.
Maybe, yeah.
I would imagine. Yeah. Did anyone ever find the puppets that were used? They must have used real puppets and sets.
Nobody has those anymore. Nobody has those. I know there's Rankin and Bass ones from the 60s that are around that Rick Goldschmidt
has
had. But none of those.
Oh, too bad. Yeah. Wouldn't those be fun
Have you taken them?
No comment. They're mysteriously missing, and that's all we need to say at this time.
In his museum, in the second floor.
In Hard Rock Coco and Joe Town.
Yeah.
Now, over at the museum, some very exciting news about an exhibit that is premiering, I want to say in January, right?
Yep, January 12th.
January 12th. Tell everybody.
To coincide with Antenna TV putting on Johnny Carson every night at 10 o'clock, because it's going to be weeknights, that is the hour-long show, and they're going to do the 90-minute shows on the weekends.
Oh, nice.
So Antenna TV is one of our sponsors, actually, for this, and it's going to be a full-on Johnny Carson exhibit that's going to be on display through October. And so, it's the 1960s desks, if you remember what that looks like. It's his costumes, like his Karnak, his Art Fearn costumes.
Really?
It's his last cue cards from his final show.
That's
for
pretty
his
cool. What about the curtain? I always remember the curtain.
The curtain is owned by a gentleman there's a guy that collects TV sets, and he is, I mean, like sets of TV shows.
Is it Kramer from Seinfeld?
Merv Griffin.
Yeah, that was my favorite Seinfeld ever. he literally like has Y'all in the Family set, and is like, he's like repaired all the rugs from all, like, this guy's meticulous. He's a millionaire, but he won't put them on display. So what does he do with them?
He just has them?
He has them in warehouses all over the place. Some are set up, some aren't. And he has the Johnny Carson curtain.
Yeah.
And the only place that he brings them out, and I mean, he cleans it like you see his people clean it like with a Q-tip.
Yeah.
He puts it out for the Comedy Central Comedy Award. So whoever wins the Johnny Carson Award, like last year was David Letterman, Rickles presented, I think Bill Murray presented it to him. Johnny's curtains hang in the background.
That's really? Pretty cool.
Yeah. But otherwise, no, it's not really on display. I think there's going to be some faux curtains there,
I totally remember that colorful curtain.
Oh, yeah.
Classic.
Dazzling.
Yeah.
So the exhibit, again, it starts in mid-December.
January.
Oh, January 12th. I'm sorry.
Yep.
And then it'll run through
October 15th.
That's such a great thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I've heard stories about the premiere of these episodes and how cool it is. Dean Richards was actually telling me that he saw a couple of the episodes, And you forget, like in the monologue, a lot of it was very timely and the news of the day. So Dean said, and I don't know how you could disagree with this, some of it might not make total sense right now because you'll have to go, wait, what? I don't understand that joke. I don't know who that particular guy is he's joking about, but we'll figure it out.
There's a few. There's a Johnny Carson channel on YouTube, which has very little content, but it's got a few shows on there. And you do watch it, and you're kind of – and the jokes, especially the monologue, but even some of the stuff that they're discussing with the desk is so – 1975.
It's very dated.
But you know, it's still very cool because you're watching Johnny, the master interviewer, going through all this, and he's just amazing for 90 minutes. He's got the author, he's got the actor, he's got another actor, he's got a third actress that comes out, he's got a musician, he's got, and it's 90 minutes he's doing this every
and
day.
All, and everybody's smoking.
Yeah.
I mean, like you wouldn't see that today.
I mean, who can do interviews for more than 90 minutes?
Nobody I know.
He was the best.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Someone has just texted us, so maybe they tuned in late. Where can I get the Susie Snowflake, et cetera, CDs, DVDs? I have so many wonderful memories.
Yeah, that's at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, 360 North State Street, or you can go to museum.tv. That's museum.tv, and there's Hard Rock, Coco, and Joe ornaments there as well.
For people who have not been to the museum, there's so many great things to see and do. A lot of Bozo memorabilia, a lot of local stuff, but a lot of national things as well.
A lot of national stuff. There's stuff from I Love Lucy, her Emmys, one of her dresses. There's stuff from The Tonight Show, Meet the Press, the Kennedy-Nixon debates. But there's also all this great local, Bill Jackson and the Dirty Dragon.
BJ, God, I loved him.
Yeah.
Ray Rayner, Bozo. Like, there's a lot of set pieces from Bozo and Garfield Goose as well. So, yeah, there's all kinds of cool stuff.
Are the boxing gloves that the actors who played Fred and Ethel Mertz used to hit each other, are they on display there? Because I know they hated each other.
They hated each other. I don't know who hated each other more.
I'll tell you, if you guys give me your initials, I will put your initials on a piece of paper and draw a little caricature of
you.
Like, I used to try and do that every time while watching Bill Jackson.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you took his name. Yeah, took the initials.
Yeah,
right?
You would send in your initials, like, you know.
And what you wanted to be, what your profession would be.
And, you know, when I took the W for me, it would always be a sideburn.
He does that. He does it on his Christmas cards, like when he
does
sends
he
it
still?
Out. He's yeah.
I just had such a crush on him, and I had my
amazing.
Own clay that I used to pretend was the Blob, and I would make cardboard cutouts of eyes and teeth so I could do it.
Right. You got a good Blob?
That a good Blob?
Yes. That's, my Blob was little though.
That's the reason, Dave, that Wendy and I have Maurice Linnell cookies as our primary sponsor is because
of
Cartoon Town.
They're back.
Yeah, they're back and better than ever.
Congratulations.
That's Dave Plyer. Listen to him on our radio station, would you? Thanks, Dave. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.